Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Another episode of Sit Down, Be Humble. My name is Hannah Humble, and I'm the host of this podcast, and I am here with a very, 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 very exciting person. I've been talking about her. I talked about her in the podcast last week because we were going to plan on doing it, and then it just didn't come around, but introduce yourself, please, for me.
Hey, guys. I'm Caitlin Alonzo. I have the pleasure of knowing Hannah Humble this year. She's been a gift, so yeah, it's been super fun.
She's, like, the best person ever. She'll get more into herself later. But, she... the face she's making. Guys, I really hope there's no, like, background noise in this because we're in the podcast room, but we're not actually using the podcast equipment. We're using my own. So, there's that. But, Caitlin's from Nashville. She's the Nashville girl. Hashtag love Nashville. But she's in my sorority with me. ADPI, OBIC, period. But one thing about Caitlin that I figured out very, very, very fast is that she is a Jesus lover, and she craves intimacy with the Holy Spirit, and it's just such a fun thing to have a friendship where you can discuss things like that. And I thought, there's no better person I want to do a Q&A with about, like, deep questions, because I know you guys have a lot of them, so... we're going to get into it. If it's your first time listening, my name's Hannah. I'm a Western student, broadcasting major. I love to talk. This is my podcast. Thanks for listening. I like to chaotically ramble about my thoughts. Truth is my favorite thing in the world, so I want to be unapologetically true. And that's where we're coming from. But if you're not new, thanks for listening. Love you guys. You guys are so awesome. Also, be on the lookout. I think I might make merch soon. What?
Oh my gosh.
I need to start saving money for studying abroad, so that's like...
oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, I need money.
Yeah,
but
I support. Thank you. I'll be your first customer.
Thank you. If you guys like know of how to like create good merch, hit me up, because I'm actually not good at that. I feel like Caitlin's actually probably good at that.
I could make some.
She can whip something up.
Yeah.
She can whip something up.
Oh, I'm an interior design major at Western here, so...
and like, I had no idea about this. Literally every interior design major is like good at drawing. She was showing me this like artwork that she had to draw like last week. Oh, another thing. Me and Caitlin do cycling classes on Tuesday and Thursday mornings. We've been slacking lately though. We haven't been going.
It's because the lady had to get surgery.
She did get surgery.
So we couldn't help that. But we did show up and we still went on a walk even though it was canceled. But
it felt really good outside.
But tomorrow?
I actually will not be going tomorrow morning probably because I feel very lightheaded right now.
Oh.
Unless it changed. Oh, okay. Guys, I've never given blood, but I did give blood today. And, the experience was 3 out of 10, probably. I'm so happy that I just saved maybe half a person's life, but like 5 seconds in, I was like, oh, this is not gonna last. I thought I was gonna have to throw up like on the side, but I didn't. So thank God, because I do have a fear of throwing up. I actually hate doing it. Oh. So I will literally do anything not to throw up. But I don't know how we got here, but here we are. We're gonna be doing a Q&A, so... here we go. Okay, so we are getting started with the Q&A, but first, this is just a question from me. I just want you to kind of explain how you started, you know, your personal relationship with Jesus and how it's grown throughout college. Just kind of explain your personal relationship.
That's a great question, because currently I'm a junior, so I'm at a weird spot where I'm kind of reflecting on everything that's happened up until now with, like, graduation and everything coming up. So... I've been thinking about that a lot, and I was very blessed with a Christian family growing up, and both of my parents were, they were young adult leaders and stuff, and so I just grew up around, like, an amazing Christian culture, And so my mom has always pointed out, like, Caitlin, you have such a childlike faith, even as you've grown. And, like, I've always been able to be friends with different age groups and stuff. And so that's just, like, been amazing, just having, like, mentors, but also younger girls I can pour into. So that's just been an amazing way to just continue my walk with the Lord and having accountability partners and everything. But specifically in high school, I feel like for most of us, that was a trialing time of whether or not I'm just going to be comfortable in certain situations or I'm going to be like Christ in like that way, you know. And so there were some challenges, but I've always felt such a strong conviction, no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. And there were moments where, like, I looked past that conviction and I chose my own path, but immediately I felt like I can't even come home to my parents because, like, they'll know because they also have that same conviction. So that's been a blessing. Like, that sounds like that's harsh from the Lord, but it's also been such a huge blessing for him to just speak to me so vividly throughout my life.
Yeah.
But then I guess I got to college and a lot of things changed with relationships, friendships, all the things. But that's been the best thing for me because it's helped me rely on the Lord like never before. I also got super involved with a ministry called Fireplace. It's in Nashville. It's a part of my church. It's like the young adults ministry on Friday nights. And they train us on how to evangelize and share the gospel with other people. And once I felt like an ounce of urgency to share the gospel and like I had the tools to do that, that has just like set me on fire for God in the past like 2 years, really. Like I've known about it. But then once I was given like the opportunity and like I saw how broken people were on like Broadway in Nashville.
Right.
That's what like got me to just like keep going and just coming back to campus and just wanting to like do the same here.
Yeah. I mean, that's really good. Fireplace is really, really awesome. I haven't had time to go.
You're coming with me.
Yeah, I'm going, guys.
I literally thought about it, like,
it's so this awesome. Weekend. Because your brother's super involved with it, too.
Yes.
He's, like, one of the leaders of it.
He has been a leader for, like, many, many years. Now he's taking another, like, step with another ministry that he's involved in and just, like, excelling awesome. In so many ways.
That's so cool. Because, like, Nashville's a crazy place to do it.
It is. Because,
like, so many people are broken. But I think it's the same on college campus, too. I mean, we talked about a lot. Caitlin was also involved with Carry the Love that I was talking about before on different episodes of this. Mm-hmm. But it's like college students are craving something and they don't know what they're craving and they're going on campus and they're like trying to fill this void. And if that's you, that's okay. And we're here to talk truthfully about like why this void is, you know, you have that hole that you feel like you constantly need to be fed into. But that's where the Holy Spirit comes. And, like, the Holy Spirit is something that everyone craves because that's how we're wired. We're wired to crave relationships and intimacy, and that starts with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So it's super, super awesome. I don't know. I'm just super excited because Caitlin, I mean, I'm just going to brag on her for a second, but she's literally, like, the most gentle-spirited person ever. And if anyone knows Caitlin, she's not just gentle-spirited, but, like, she's so fun and it just goes to show, like, you can have a personal relationship with Jesus and still live a quote-unquote normal life without, like, doing the cringy stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes when you tell people Christians, they, like, cringe because it's like, oh, you wear those shirts that say blessed, grateful, and thankful, grateful, blessed, and you, like, can, I don't know, have, what's the word I'm trying to think
of? A double life.
Like, yeah, a double life. And it's just, like, that's not who you are. And that's not who Jesus calls us to
be. It's more confusing that way, too.
Yeah.
And it takes a second to, like, step back to realize how confusing it is.
Yeah.
Like, why am I so angry all the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, it's because, like, I'm reading my Bible and I'm seeing this truth, but then I'm living a whole nother way.
Yeah. I mean, I always, like, I don't know. When I first grew in my relationship with Jesus, the thing that I realized was when I stop feeling conviction about something, that's when I know I'm doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because as much as conviction sucks to feel, it's so needed because that's what tells us, you know, we shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
Even if it's something so simple. I find myself in college feeling convicted about, like, gossip or something, and I'm like, well, this is not right, but am I going to choose to, you know, like you said, stay in the comfort of just saying yes all the time, or am I going to choose to, you know, be like, this is not what Jesus would want. He'd probably flip a table right now. So yes. It's just, it goes into your uncomfortability, which, again, I could talk about forever because change won't happen unless you go through a season of uncomfortability. I hate saying the word season. It makes me sound so, like, weird, I feel like. But, yeah. Okay, so there's a little bit of Caitlin for you. So we're going to get into a Q&A. I asked people on my podcast Instagram, if you guys don't follow it, I ask a lot of questions. It's Sit Down Be Humble Pod. We had quite a few answers, and a lot of them were very similar. So,
do we have a hot topic?
Do you want to go with a really deep one, or you want to go with, like, a light one? Start with light.
Let's start at light. That sounds fun.
Okay. How do you stay in the word and consistent with it? I feel like that's, like, a broad one, but, like...
No, that's good.
It's a good one, so what would you
say? That's, like, vital.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is hard in college. Like, it's so hard, but... The best thing that I've recognized about myself, not the best thing about me, but, like, the best thing for me has been, like, setting a plan.
Yeah.
The majority of the time, the only time I actually finished, like, what I started with the Bible is when I had, like, a solid plan from, like, the Bible app or a devotional or something. Other than that, it's so hard to just, like, casually read my Bible every night, especially when you're, like, it's... 11:23 p.m. and you're like, are you kidding me? Why would I read my Bible? Yeah. Like, can I just go to sleep already? You know? Mm-hmm. But having a plan and even having, like, accountability partners, like, I could easily text Hannah if I felt that way, and she would just, like, send me a little voice memo, like, hey, girl, you got this. Like, yeah. I'm going to read this tonight. You should read it, too. And any, like, any verse in the Bible is going to change your life. It could be simple as, like, something about the tabernacle, and it's like, okay, these are God's words and these are so holy. True. So why wouldn't I, like, dive in and see, like, what the Holy Spirit's trying to teach me through this one scripture of, like, the Bible?
That's so true. I mean, like, I think as college students, and maybe you're in high school, maybe you just graduated college, whatever age you are, it's going to be really hard timing-wise if you're a busy person to read your Bible all the time. But again, you have to tell yourself, like, I'm not going to regret reading my Bible because, like you said, the Word of God is, like, alive and active, and never have I read the Bible and not gained anything out of it.
Yeah.
I really think that, like she said, having accountability is an amazing thing. It's really hard to stay consistent in the Word if you're not having someone be a little whisper in the ear and be like, hey, you seem off lately. And, like, that's not a judging thing. No. I think it's just, like, checking up on someone because... Yeah. I know when I haven't read my Bible and I start acting meaner and, like, madder. Maybe I'm sad. I start overthinking stuff. And I'm like, well, the whole reason is because I haven't been giving Jesus the time that he deserves.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, it's motivation within yourself. But
yeah,
just got to tell yourself you got to do it.
At the same time, once you start getting in, like, a Christian community and hearing how they speak and how they're growing with the Lord, that makes you want to grow with God through scripture. Like, so oh my gosh, that person has so much knowledge. How do I get to that? Like, this past Easter, like, this weekend, I left, like, church wanting to, like, read my Bible, like, 24/7, you know? But then I drive home to college, and I'm like, okay, that takes discipline. So, you know, so like, I had that feeling, but now it's, like, actually taking the step.
And it's hard because a lot of the times, whether you're in high school, college, your workforce, whatever it is, some of the people that you hang out with, you don't necessarily choose to hang out with because you have to be there. But then you have to actively choose to be the person that they see differently. You know, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it can be a weird thing at first when you're the person that stands out because as a Christian, you probably will stand out, and sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way. But again, Jesus went through all the things that you went through as a follower.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
So, you know, I think, like Caitlin said, just actively choosing to to know Jesus on a personal level.
Yeah.
If it's hard to want to crave that if you don't know him on a personal level, because then it sounds like a chore and you don't want to do it because you think you're a bad Christian if you don't. But the thing is about Jesus is that the closer you get to the Holy Spirit, the more you crave him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a fun feeling because you do gain spiritual gifts like wisdom. And yeah. you're like, oh my gosh, there's no way in the world that I just knew that. Mm-hmm. So, like, it must be the Holy Spirit. And you start gaining this stuff, and it's not for your glory. It's for Jesus's glory.
Yeah.
And then other people start seeing, oh, my gosh, well, this girl's different, or yeah. this guy's different, or whatever. And maybe they don't even know what makes them different, but it's like the Holy Spirit is already planting seeds in other people through you.
Yeah.
So it's, like, choosing to be a light, even though it is hard.
There's this book called No Compromise by Keith Green, and he was, like, this hippie from the 70s that got radically saved, but literally through Holy Spirit encounters. Like, this guy came up to him and was, like, it was, like, crazy. He was about to attack him,
wow.
and Keith, not knowing the Lord, knew that, like, God protected him in that moment and shut that guy's mouth, and he walked away.
Wow.
But years later, he finally found the Lord, like...
That's crazy.
It's crazy. Y'all should read No Compromise. It's insane.
I haven't read that. I need to read that.
It's a fat book, but it's a good book.
If it's a good book, then I'm done. I've been reading this one book. I think I sent you a picture of it, but after I'm done, you need to read it. I literally, every single chapter, I cry in it. Like,
what?
Every single chapter. It's called, I don't have it with me. It's in my backpack. Children of the Supernatural. Why could I not think of that? And it talks about, like, it's this, like, woman, and she is in children's ministry. Her and her husband do, like, Holy Spirit things all over the world or whatever. And it's just stories about how Jesus has encountered little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so vivid, and they're all very similar, but yet so different. And, like,
that's so
it's
sweet.
Just crazy. Like,
we need to hear those stories.
It's so good. It's so encouraging
yeah.
because I think a lot of us get really discouraged when other people are hearing these stories
yeah.
about other encounters. But it's like Jesus encounters you in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's just up to us if we pay attention to those.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, it's crazy. But there was one story. It was talking about this little girl, and... Basically, she was, like, scared of chickens, which, like, I mean, everyone has their own fears, but basically, she, like, lived on a farm. I'm summing it up, but she lived on a farm. She had, like, pet chickens. She was terrified of, like, the chickens coming in her window and, like, pecking her. And so her parents were, like, we're just going to let her cry it out for the night. And then she just stopped crying after, like, whatever. And
yeah.
they were, like, what the heck? Like, whatever. And then she came out of her room, like, a few minutes later and was, like, did you guys just see Jesus, too?
Oh,
and then they were, like, what?
God.
And basically, Jesus was sitting on the end of her bed in front of the window and said, I'm going to guard the window until
it's
you go to sleep.
It's always the end of the bed.
It's
like, he's just, like, sitting there.
Like, what? I want Jesus to sit in the end of my bed.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he does.
That
I imagine
freaks
him doing
me out.
That.
Wait, we've talked about this.
Yes, guys, I told Caitlin, and I've told
one
my
of our
mom,
first conversations.
Mm-hmm. I do not want to see an angel. Okay. If God gives me
because
an angel, I know he wants me to see it, but I don't want to see it.
It's because in scripture, it's always, like, every time an angel appears or, like, Jesus appears to someone, they're like, do not fear. That's the first thing you say. So you already know that person's, like, scrambling to, like, find a way out or, like,
yeah.
hide under their covers because...
I would be hiding under my
it's
covers.
It's not just, like... this person just randomly, or this, like, figure just randomly appeared in your room. It's also a holy, like,
yeah.
experience where your mind, your physical body is freaking out,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's just crazy. Like, we can't control when God visits
right.
us.
Right.
But, and we can't really prepare other than just, like, diving in the Word more and being more familiar
mm-hmm.
with those, like, situations, but...
I don't know. Okay, I had to stop it so I can, like, make another one because this thing only allows me to do 15 minutes at a time. But I left on a very
mid-thought. She's like, I'm going to stop this.
Because I was at, like, 14 minutes and, like, 20 seconds. So I was like, my thought's going to be way longer than
okay, go
40
for it.
Seconds. But I do think that every single person I've heard stories of seeing an angel, like, my parents have both seen angels, and I just think it'd be a really cool thing to
That's
see.
That's crazy.
I think my flesh is just, like, scared. But also,
yeah.
I've had, like, ever since I was little, there are some nights when you overthink when you're in your room alone, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared right now. Like,
yeah.
why am I so scared? A lot of that is, like, not of the Holy Spirit. And you're
yeah.
like, oh, like, you just gotta rebuke that. But, again, if I saw an angel... it'd be great because they always have wisdom and it's always usually
yeah.
to show something.
What's the thing that you say whenever you see an angel? Like, are you from, You know how you, like, have to ask them because they could be an angel of, like, light, but it could be from the devil.
Like, where do you come from?
Like, who do you represent? Are you from the King of Kings or, like, something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think you'd have to ask them something. I feel like maybe if you... I feel like if you have discernment, though, I feel like the Holy Spirit would be like, oh, this is good. Because I think if it's a demonic thing, you'd probably feel it in your spirit.
Yeah.
And, like, it would be no bueno. I'd be like, get out. Get out.
Leave.
Right now.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah, seriously.
I did that last night.
But, really?
Before I went to sleep, I felt fear. And I was like, this is not from God.
This is not from God. If you guys get nightmares a lot, rebuke that. You
can get prayer.
Yeah.
I literally was so fed up with it that I asked my coworkers, like, one time. I'm like, can you just pray for me right now? Because... I haven't been able to sleep in a year after I watched that horror movie.
That's crazy. Guys,
I had to confess it.
I literally cannot watch horror movies. No. I feel like it opens so many doors.
Some people, like, love it, and I'm like, why?
I get it because it freaks you out. I do, like, I think, like, getting scared is...
Thrillers.
Like, yeah, thrillers is, great. Like, it's, like, a fun thing. But, like, I don't know. When you constantly think about it, it's just, like, what good is that putting in
If there's
soul?
Not justice at the end, if it's more fear, kind of...
Yeah, I don't do scary. I really,
Especially if you're sensitive to it, like, you have to be careful. Because that could be, like, hindering you from a gift of, like, being, like, an intercessor or something. Like,
yeah.
I could be spending my time, like, being so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but I'm just scaring myself with this scary movie.
And that's so true. And, like, that makes me think of, like, dreams. Which, guys, I want to make a whole podcast episode about dreams. I think Caitlin would be a great person to bring on because she, like, has a lot of different experiences with dreams as well. But, like, a lot of dreams, this is, like, so off topic, but it's for someone because I know people out there get dreams and they're, like, very vivid and you wake up. Write down your dreams because most of the time it's God literally showing you something, like, prophetically. And I know it's a big word for a lot of people who don't work a lot in the prophetic realm. But the Holy Spirit will literally reveal things. Maybe not, it's not, like, directly, like, oh my gosh, this is what's going to happen. But it's like, oh my gosh, in the spiritual realm, this is what's happening right now. And, like, you have to be able to do that. And a lot of the times, like, for instance, my dreams, a lot of them, I'm, like, scared. But I know it's a Holy Spirit dream. Because I think when God prepares you for big things, you might be a little scared. Because, again, you have to go out of your comfort zone to go through change. Yeah. That dream. I'll tell you about that dream in a few minutes. Anywho, we're going to move on to the next question. Okay. How do you deal with spiritual doubt? I think that kind of is a very broad question, but how do you deal with spiritual doubt?
Interesting question. Because, like I said, I've always been kind of like extra... I've always had a weird amount of faith where it's like you could say something and it could sound super convincing, but then I'm like, I don't think that aligns with God. So it's hard to answer this question because I'm not one to like
doubt about things. You just like go
doubt through. Because I think it's because of like the foundation I've had with my parents. If I do question something, I will go straight to my mom. And then she'll point out scripture.
Yeah.
Or, like, life experience or something.
I think it definitely differs on how you were raised, who you spend the most time with. Because, personally, I don't think doubt's a bad thing. I think that a lot of... I think it's very natural to have doubts because that's the free will inside of us. And the more you doubt and the more questions you begin to ask yourself and to dive in, like... into the Word of God, or you dive into people that you know, confide in, like, I think that those doubts end up making the truth make a lot more sense to you.
Yeah.
So, I think spiritual doubt is something good because it makes you question, oh my gosh, like, what does this mean for me? And I think a lot of that has to do with discernment and conviction because a lot of people who don't have discernment and conviction don't ask questions because they don't really care. But the fact that you're asking a question is, you know, like... this doesn't make sense for me because a lot of people just, and it's like, I mean, we're raised like that. I'm like stuttering my words right now. my brain like works a lot faster than my words come out. But, I think a lot of people just grew up told to believe the stuff that they do and they grow up and they, you know, enter the world from a totally different perspective. I think Gen Z is a very good example of that because we grew up so differently than our parents, and the stuff we're going through right now is so different. And I think a lot of people our age or around our age
literally just crave the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And we don't care as much about, like, this is what our church told us to do. Because at the end of the day, like, our foundation is on Jesus and who he says he is. What the Bible says is true. And what the Holy Spirit is telling you personally. Yeah. So it's like, spiritual doubt is not necessarily a bad thing. But I do think in order to get the doubt fully away, you have to spend time in the Word. Because mm-hmm. I find myself doubting a whole lot less when I'm being so consistent in what Jesus is saying to me. And a lot of that takes intentionality. And, like, saying no to things that I want to say yes to. Or spending less time with people, which is really, really hard for me. Because I'm a very big people person. But if I spend too much time with people, I forget that I need to spend time alone. Because it's not something that comes naturally for me, but it's like you have to train yourself and be obedient to what the Lord is saying. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, when you know the Holy Spirit, I think that doubt doesn't come as often, for sure. Because you just are so founded on, like, this is what the Word says, so I'm going to choose to believe that, whether I actually do or not.
Yeah. I like how you said it kind of comes from, like, curiosity almost. Mm-hmm. Like, doubting is just, like, questioning. Another form of, like, questioning. Like, you already have something in the back of your brain of what you think it is. So you're just, like, wondering what the true answer is. And that reminds me of when we did evangelism on campus with Carry the Love. Mm-hmm. And I talked to this girl that I've seen a ton on campus. But it was my first time talking to her about, like, Jesus. And she's like, I love Jesus. Like, I'm sure he was, like, a historical figure. Like, all the things. But I also believe in, like, so many different areas of, like, spirituality and stuff. And so mm-hmm. it's, like, the opposite of doubting. It's just, like, openness to everything.
Yeah.
But one of the things that, like, I cannot forget that she said was that she thinks that reincarnation is really cool because you just constantly get to come back in a new form and learn new things a whole new way. And that, mm-hmm. like, connects to, like, why we, like, question things sometimes is because we want to learn, but if it doesn't apply to the standards that you've already set for yourself, then you're not going to receive it well. Mm-hmm. And it was just,
that's
like,
good.
It was kind of really cool that she was saying it that way, because that is, like, how humans are made to, like, learn and to, like, fight against our will to become, like, holy with, like, the Lord.
Yeah.
But it's just, it showed, like, she's just such a true example of, like, how most, like, people are at our age, you know?
And it's hard to do stuff when you're not fully interested in it, too. Mm-hmm. Because when you're doing stuff, and I know a lot of people have church hurt, and so they're like, I love the idea of Jesus himself, but I don't love the idea of church or something because of the church hurt. But that's the thing. You don't have, like, your relationship with Jesus, no one else can question, because that's up to you and the Lord. But I do think that it's hard for our generation, because it's like, we're a generation that's so open to everything mm-hmm. that it's like, you don't want to offend anyone when you say, I don't believe in that.
Yeah.
And it's like, not supposed to be like a bad thing, you know, like you can believe what you want to believe, but at the same time, there's going to be a time when it comes to like, is this real, or is this truthful, or is this like, am I living my life mm-hmm. a lie? And I knew it in the back of my head, but I didn't want to do anything with it. Mm-hmm. It comes with action, but I do like that story. Yeah. That girl, that's really crazy. Mm-hmm. Do you talk to her still?
I see her all the time, but we don't really, like, talk about what we had talked about. But she's so joyful that, like, and sweet that I just know that, like, God has good plans mm-hmm. for her. I'm just praying that she actually steps into that.
Right. And you just gotta pray. Yep. So if that's you and you're going through like a really just rough patch, know that the Lord is with you and he loves you and you're cherished by him. Mm-hmm. And that's not even a question. I know it's easy to question that when you're surrounded by lies, but there it goes. Okay, this is a deep one, mm-hmm. but I wanted to ask you this one because I know that you probably have an answer. And we did talk about, we didn't bring our Bibles. This would have been a really good one to have our Bibles with, but it is what it is. Okay. I heard that in order for God to be present, two people have to be there, but God also says that he wants a relationship with us personally. So how is his presence there when it's just us talking to him and another person is not present?
This is a good question for the Bible.
For the Bible that we don't have, if we can't answer it.
So there is, I think it's funny, I've realized in the past, like, months that we have, like, singled out so many of the same verses that we don't see other verses that, like, are in, like, parables or something that's, like, harder to understand that actually have the answer to these questions.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's that verse, like, when two or more are gathered, like, he's there, which is probably what she's going off of.
Right.
But there's plenty of other, like, encounters in the Bible where it was a one-on-one experience.
Yes.
Like, Enoch, for instance, like, he had a personal relationship with God so much to the extent that God took him away before death. Yeah. Like, he disappeared one day. And that was a personal one-on-one relationship. You know, we didn't need to read about, like, all the friendships and prayer meetings and everything, like, with the Lord to know that he lived, like, a righteous life for God.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, I do think that it's easy to take scripture out of context if you're just going off of one, and that's why there's so many different, denominations and stuff, is just because people's interpretation, I guess, of it can be different. And I know that is a very confusing thing, because it's like, I do think there's power in numbers. I think that if there's more than one person praying for something, you're obviously interceding for that person or for whatever event you're praying for, because intercession is such a real thing that I never realized until I began a personal relationship with him and began to learn who the Holy Spirit was on, you know, like, by myself without going off of what church had to say. Yeah. So a lot of it has to do with, you know, what's your personal relationship with him. But at the same time, there's so, like you said, Enoch, like, he had a personal relationship with Jesus. People, in the Old Testament, like, we have, like, Abraham. Yeah. God blessed him in so many generations. I mean, even before Jesus was on earth.
Yeah.
And it happened to so many people. Job, he didn't have two people praying on
his
behalf.
He literally was, if anything, he was by himself completely because everything was taken away from him. So he had to depend on the Lord.
He had to. He was completely stranded, which, like, the story of Job, a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, it's so depressing, but it's like,
it's
us.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's probably not to that extent sometimes, most of the time, I guess. I mean, if it is, then praying for you. But, like, seriously, that's how our relationship with Jesus, I think, a lot of time grows when we're going through those hard things. Because there's no, like, at the end of the day, you can't rely on anyone else in the world. I don't care if it's your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, like, whatever it is, at the end of the day, they're not going to be able to help you in the way that the Holy Spirit can help you.
Yeah. They can point you to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's, like, that's kind of what that scripture's saying about if two or more are gathered, then his presence will be there. It's because prayer, like, that involves prayer and just, like, two souls, like, being together, like, that's such a holy thing. And, like, unto the Lord, like, that's beautiful, and God wants to hear that.
Yeah.
But there's also that, like, intimate relationship with the Lord. And something that I've had to pray for discernment about recently is things that God has shown me. Do I keep it to myself, or do I share it with someone?
Yeah.
Which I feel like you learn as you grow as a Christian.
I agree.
So.
I agree. Okay, again, I had to stop it, so we're continuing on with that conversation. I do think I've also, like, been... Oh, I see it. My words are, like, not making any sense. Also been... Yeah, that's the country coming.
Also.
Y'all also been doing that? No. I think finding your people and learning who to confide in about things, but also learning to keep things to yourself.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of things that the Holy Spirit talks to me about, and, like, my flesh is like, oh my gosh, I need to go tell people. But sometimes people aren't just aren't going to understand.
Do you journal?
I do journal.
That's
journaling
good.
Is a really, really good thing. Yeah, guys, if you journal, it's awesome. If you don't journal, try it. It's actually really good. Because, like, you could be mad at the world, but you're never going to, like, show your anger sometimes. Like, for me, if I'm mad, I don't really normally show it.
Yeah.
Well, people can probably tell, but it's not like, I'm mad.
Yeah.
It's like me writing it down in the journal, because a lot of the stuff that the Holy Spirit shows me, reveals to me, I want to say it, and sometimes I do say it. Like you said, you're just like, why did I just do that? Like, that was, like, for
it's
me
embarrassing, but
yeah.
It also shows that you're growing with God, because you did feel that embarrassment. Like, oh, no, okay. Because
why is it?
It's like a secret.
It's embarrassing.
It's like you telling me a secret, and
like,
you're like, you're like, hey, like, I just wanted to tell you this, and, like, by the way, like, don't tell anyone, because it's just for you.
Right.
And then I share it.
Yeah, I mean, that's
that's literally how it is with God, like, revealing
something
to you. You
just get excited, I think. Like, yeah. I think excitement comes with it. But also, if we're getting super, if I'm going to be truthful, some of it's, like, my selfishness coming out. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what God's entrusting me with. And then I'm, like, doing this, and I'm like, well, he's not going to entrust me with more things if I keep sharing his secrets to me. But I don't think it's, I don't think you should keep everything inside, because I do think you have certain people you should talk to about Holy Spirit things, because they also understand. But again, like, no one else is going to understand your personal relationship with Jesus except for you.
This, for some reason, makes me think of how when Jesus came back, what was it, for 40 days after he resurrected? And it says, like, within those 40 days, he did more things that than, like, could fill, like, a, what was it, that quote? It's like, he did more things in the 40 days of coming back on earth than, like, could be written down or something like that. Like, crazy things that obviously, like, isn't in the Bible.
Yeah.
But, like, that might be something that was intimate with him and the Father. That we...
that's good.
Because there's so many times in the Bible where, in the New Testament, where Jesus is just praying to, like, the Father.
He would
like,
go alone.
He had to step away from the crowd to pray to the Father. And, like, who knows what they spoke about.
That's so good.
That's not for us to know.
That's crazy. I love, like, I love that you said that, because it's a good reminder that Jesus spent so much alone time with the Father. Because most of the stories that we hear about, you know, at church, or, like, how Jesus healed people, which is such a good thing.
Or the crowds followed him and listened.
But there's so much more that he did. I mean, he started this at 12 years old. Like, his ministry started when he was literally 12 years old.
Yeah.
So from that time to, you know, like, 33, however old he was whenever he died, it's, like, how much intimate time he would spend with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But also, when you were saying that, it's, like, I'm sure there, well, obviously there are so many more stories about the crazy things that Jesus did and the encounters that he had with people on earth that we have no idea about. Because the ones that are shared in the stories that we do see are, like, keep this a secret, go and don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
And those were the people that went and told him. But I feel like there's probably people who, like, didn't tell anyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like,
yes.
Oh, this is such a secret. Like, he told me not
who
to
knows?
Go tell anyone. Because he was, like you said, he always would wander alone. So I'm sure that he would go and, like, encounter someone. Obviously, he knew everything about the person he would encounter. So he'd be like, oh my gosh, this is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to do in life.
Yeah.
Or whatever, like, encouraging them, healing them, whatever. So it's just really, like, fun to think about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just, like,
there's
him.
So many things he's going to reveal to us in heaven.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Crazy.
What's that? John 13:7, where it's like, you do not know now what I'm doing, but you will understand. It's like, I don't think we're going to ever understand as much as we want to on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, that's why, oh my gosh, that was the thought I was going to have. That's it. I knew I was missing something. Whenever she was talking about that girl who was like, she wants to, like, she likes the idea of being reincarnated because you're constantly learning something, but it's like, that's what Jesus knows we want. Like, he knows that. And so when we're in heaven, we're never going to stop learning.
No, that's what I told her.
Yeah.
Sorry, I almost touched
her. She almost ripped off my thing.
her band-aid from getting her blood. I was just punched.
I'm almost
it.
Passing out and being nauseous. No, guys, I'm literally feeling fine now.
No, but that's how I responded to her.
Yeah.
Was, did you, like, I had just read a book about heaven, which is crazy, the timing of that. And I was like, listen, like, God literally says that there will be, like, unlimited, like, teachings for eternity. And, like,
it's
once
crazy.
You arrive in heaven, that's not, like, it.
Right.
You still grow,
mm-hmm.
like, from the moment you stepped into heaven.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Revelation talks about how we're going to have a new body, and, like, we're going to... Okay, that sounds weird.
No, I was laughing about something else.
But, anywho, like, we're going to become a new creation, but, again, like, we're never going to stop learning, because God gives us these gifts that we... Obviously, we use the gifts that we have here. Like, some people are gifted with, like, I don't know, construction... I don't know, maybe you love construction so much you're going to be doing it in heaven. Who knows?
Hey, yeah.
But, like, there are so many things that the Lord's going to keep revealing for you, and you're like, oh, why the heck is this happening right now? And you go to heaven, you're like, oh, duh,
oh,
it was
goodness.
In plain sight, and I just couldn't see it because my eyes are blinded to it.
I heard this thing the other day about, like, the songs that we write about God here will be sung in heaven as well, because
that's
they're
crazy.
Glorifying him.
Ugh, that's
crazy.
So good.
Guys, it's so good.
I love it. Okay, that was a really good thing. I really like that. Okay, What's your current favorite worship song? This is good because mine changes every single day. Well, like, when I tell you every single day, it changes every single day. Because I listen to, like, the same. I don't know. When I get hyper fixated on albums.
No, me too.
So, like, I'll just listen to that album.
Yeah.
At one time.
I sent you this, right?
Oh, I love that album.
It, like, just came out.
Whenever you said that to me, I had only listened to Show Me. I think it's Give Me.
Show Me Your Face. Because that one's good.
It was that one or Give Me Jesus. That was the only one I'd heard previously.
Oh, Give Me Jesus. You told me that. Give Me Jesus. Okay, y'all. This is, like, an amazing, what am I trying to say? Playlist. I'm like, yes, it's awesome.
Guys, this song is so good. You guys mentioned the song?
It's called Moments from Bethel Music, and it's called Wait. Like, that's so the good album. And it's songs that we're familiar with that have been, like, sung before, but it's just in, like, on a whole nother level, and it's so powerful, and yeah, it's amazing.
What's your favorite
song
on the album? It's hard. They're all good. Spontaneous songs are my favorite worship songs.
Cause it's so funny because I was listening to this on the drive home yesterday, and Show Me Your Face, or, like, one of them, it was playing, but the first, like, more than half of it was so spontaneous and literally just music and, like, the crowd just, like, worshiping. And then it finally sang, like two sentences of the song. And then the song ended.
That's, like, how
I started
That's
laughing out. I laughed out loud. I was like, that was it. But it was amazing.
Oh, so that was it? Oh, no, because that's actually really funny.
It literally all says, like, spontaneous.
They're all spontaneous. And then I heard that one song, Breathe Out Your Praise, because I was like, this is so good, but I was like, obviously she's listened to it before, but I was like, this is so niche, whatever, because my mom listened to it when I was in, like, 7th grade, and, like, that's
so good. I actually have a song. Okay, YouTube, go to Upper Room, and
Psalm 23.
It's,
that's my sleeping song.
It's not that one, but it's, oh gosh, it's about to start playing. Oh no, okay. It's called You're Beautiful. You know that song?
Oh, yes.
Okay, but Joel sings it. He's from Upper Room, and he's
so
listened
good
to it. It's 13 minutes long, and it's the best thing ever because they go into another song at the end. Anyways.
They're all so good.
You go.
Well, I was going to say, that brings me to a funny story. Abby, Katie, Manon, if you're listening, you guys know. So, like, we would have to, and when I took AP Lit, we would have, like, 20 minutes of reading time. So we'd have to sit there and read for 20 minutes.
Okay.
And my ADHD doesn't do well with, like, reading in public places. So I, like, would put in my music or whatever. But I can't listen to music. I can listen to, like, instrumental. So I listened to this one thing. It's called 5 Hours of Soaking in His Presence.
Yes. Is it by Rick Pino or something?
Yes. I can't tell you from the top of my head. But that's, like, an insight. That's, like, something they would always be like, Wilson, let's go. Hey, guys, what do you listen to? 5 Hours of Soaking in His Presence.
Oh, right there, right there.
Yes.
Oh, William Augusto.
Yes.
Okay.
So here's this little
thing of it.
Let me just fast forward to this. So listening to this reminds me of reading. And
I used to listen to that same exact one.
You actually listen to it all the time. Okay, my favorite song at the moment, though, is it's by MBL Worship. It's the newer album, the one that has Clean Clank on it. But it's Highest Praise, in parentheses, We Get Low. And it's so good. It's like, we get low, low, low. I'm not going to sing it because I'm not a good singer. But
you can't sing
go
either?
Listen to it. I can't sing. I can talk I can talk.
But do you want to sing? Because maybe we could try together and get better together.
We're going to start taking vocal lessons.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take all the help I can get.
I think we should try.
We're just going to start become singers, but there we go. I don't know.
That was such a loaded answer for such a simple question.
What's your favorite song? Actually, I think the Holy Spirit's really... I mean, low-key, though. But spontaneous stuff is really fun. Okay, I know a lot of you guys don't listen to Christian music because you think it's cringy, which honestly, okay, listen, I know you're going to know what I mean. If you don't, it's okay because I know what I mean.
I have a story.
I think there's a difference between Christian music and worship music.
Oh my gosh,
yes. I can't stand Christian music. I don't, like, I've tried to like it. It's, like, the songs they play. I think that's more worship than Christian.
No, it is. It's just the
drops in the ocean. Like, please do not play that song. Because I will cringe.
I don't know what you're
talking
about.
Mad.
But
and I know
okay.
It's, like, something bad. But, like, let me just... Because they're all...
That's very controversial.
slight controversy. I tell y'all, I'll keep it how it is. Fixed my eyes. Good father. Sorry, if you like.
Oh, shoot.
No, I'm fine. Like good father, I'm fine. I'm so just, sorry. That's just not my type of music. Or, like, I don't know, literally, like, all these. But,
but
they're good.
It's okay.
If you listen to them, it's great, but I'm not a fan, so sorry.
I had a thought, and now I've completely lost. You.
I hate that.
I literally said, I have a story.
Oh, yeah, what's your story?
I can't remember.
We're talking about songs.
Yeah.
And what songs mean and stuff. Can you guys hear that yelling back there? Because I don't know if you can hear it or not. There's people yelling.
We're probably yelling.
We are yelling. It's fine. Oh, cringy songs. Guys, if you want, like, good, like, upbeat playlist to listen to, Riders, it's R-I-D-E-R-S, all capital letters. It's, like, good music. And it's, like, I listen to it with the windows down. You know?
Oh, story. Okay. It's back. Let's go. Okay, guys. This is something that changed my life. So, involving worship music. So, I think it was, like, senior year of high school. And I was about to go to this conference called Jesus Image. And for the first time in my life, I prayed about what I was supposed to fast. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd never really fasted before. I mean, I grew up in, like, whatever, you know. But I hadn't fasted. So, I was like, God, what should I fast? Because I want to be able to absorb, like, everything that's taught so well. And I was still, like, not living, like, in, like, really for Jesus at this time. But I went to a private Christian school, so they just steered me in the right direction in most ways. So anyways, I had prayed about it, and I felt like I was not supposed to listen to secular music, which is really funny because I'm really bad at retaining, like, lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't, like, memorize music really well, and so I have to listen to the same song multiple times even to, like, sing along with it. Like, that's how bad it is. But I feel like God did that on purpose because with all the secular music, I would listen to it over and over and over again, but it wasn't, like, fulfilling or good or anything. I didn't really like it. It was just because I wanted to relate to my friends.
Yeah.
But once I laid down secular music for that conference, I realized how, like, life-giving worship music was, and I enjoyed it so much more. Yeah. And, like, I really, since I have to focus on words so much to be able to retain and, like, memorize them, I was doing that with worship music and really, like, soaking in the words, that it was changing, like, my heart in such a deep way. So that just, like, changed my life. And ever since then, I've only listened to worship music for, like, 2.5-3 years.
That's crazy. I mean, I think that's really crazy because I hear that. The first time you told me that was we were pomping. But you don't know what pomping is. It's such an odd thing to explain to people. It's a sorority, fraternity thing, whatever. You spend, like, hours.
It's for floats.
Yes.
It's
like, you spend hours, like, literally balling up little tissue balls.
And then gluing them into a certain pattern for your float.
Yeah. It was, like, 2 a.m. or something, and we were just having those deep conversations. She's like, I don't listen to any secular music. And I was like, what? Like, that's crazy. Because, like, that's such a good conviction to have. But, like, for me, like, I don't listen to a lot of songs. I'm not a huge fan of rap because I'm just like, what good is that giving me? Because I don't.
Hey, there's good Christian rap out there.
There is. Hashtag Lecrae.
Hashtag Andy NF.
NF, I do love NF.
He's intense.
Zach, the world is in right now.
Oh my God.
Whatever song that is. Anywho. But, like, that's crazy because I'm such, like, I love worship music, but I also love secular music.
Yeah.
Like, I love country and pop. And musicals.
Yeah.
Which is really
good. Hey, I do love musicals.
I love musicals. But,
I still appreciate it. I just don't listen to it.
Right. Which is really good. So, if you guys are, like, want to do that, talk to Caitlin. She is such a good person to do that. I'll send you my playlist. She has a fire playlist.
Apple Music, sorry, for Spotifyers.
If you listen to Spotify, you're crazy. Just joking. I literally have Spotify, but I don't listen. Well, I don't have, I have the free Spotify. I only use that for, like, to listen to podcasts, but I'm an Apple Music girl, too.
Woo!
But anywho, that really inspires me. I could stop listening to secular music, but I think I'm choosing not to.
I think you're a good girl.
But I think that I'm fine, because I love music. I love music.
I love music, too.
I love music, too, period. And that was the end of that. Oh, that's so funny. But,
Yeah, that's kind of just, the first time I heard that, I was like, that's crazy. Because, like, I would hear other people doing that. Do most people at your church do that, too?
What's weird? Okay, my church is, like, okay, never mind. I'm not going to get into that.
So, no.
Yes. So, yeah. Yes and no. It depends.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, that was going to be a long conversation, and I was
this
about to go
this podcast was going to turn into a two-hour
I was about to go into, like, other people's stories, and I'm like, hold up, let me just
hold
stop
up.
Right
We're
there.
We're not going to, but that's okay. I mean, that's really inspiring. That's really good. But I think, like, if I listen to too much secular music, my soul starts to be like, oh, yo, yo, yo. We're going to back up. Like, lately, I haven't been listening to a lot just because, like, I know that I'm not in the place where I should be with the Holy Spirit, then I'm like, I'm wasting my time if I'm not. But, you know, it just depends on convictions, I guess.
I think it's helped me whenever I am in, like, a car with a friend that does play secular music. That makes me sound, like, so sheltered, but, like...
She's really not. She's had her fair share. But it's...
Thanks, Anna.
Oh, that's not what I mean.
I've been exposed.
That is not the way you mean. She's listening to secular music.
No. Yes, but when I am in, like... a car, like, a situation where there's secular music, I tune into the words way more than I used to whenever I, like, casually listen to it, because I'm more sensitive to how it's affecting me.
That's really good. Because once you start, like, looking at it from a holy perspective, you're like, this is not equivalent to the truth. It's like, lie, insecurity after insecurity, speaking word curses over yourself.
Lie.
It's like, what the heck is going on? Yeah. But... yeah, I do think when you're attuned to it, you start to notice it more, because it's like, the Holy Spirit's like, right in front of you.
I think it can also involve, like, idolizing that artist, too.
Yeah, I agree.
So you have to be careful with that. You have to recognize, like, why you listen to that person all the time, what their life is like, because that plays into what music they write. Also, something that I just realized, watch the music videos of, like, music that you listen to now or you used to listen to, and it will show you their intent with what they're trying to portray through the music.
That's real.
Because there's so much, like, over-sexualized or, like, all this, like, dark stuff behind, like, the lyrics that we just, like, listen to.
Like, so casually.
Yep. Ow. Don't rip it.
I really don't want to wear this anymore. I was trying to rip it off, but it's
hurting. Hurts.
Well, how else am I supposed to get it off?
Water. Stop. Do not.
We're doing ASMR now. Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay. I'm ending this podcast. I feel like I could talk to Caitlin for hours and hours, because we could, and we have. And she's... what?
Why do I look, like, nervous right now?
I think she thinks she's being interrogated right now.
Oh, no, this was fun, guys.
I'm so happy to have her on. She's very wise, and she's very fun, and she's crazy. So if you're crazy and you want to talk to other crazy girls...
If you want to go cycling and you go to Western, come hang out with
come
us.
Come to cycling.
Except it not tomorrow really morning, because she's not coming.
Yeah, but it is really early. But come.
6 a.m.?
It makes me feel so productive.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like a couch potato in the past few weeks.
Me too. I miss it. I need it. So Thursday morning, 6:15. Hopefully Susan's there.
Yeah.
Poor Susan. But anywho, if you don't follow my Instagram, it's Hannah Liz Humble. That's my main account. And then Sit Down Be Humble Pod is my podcast. That's where I post updates on podcast episodes, who my lovely little guests are gonna be, or stuff. And I ask Q&As and do fun stuff like that. Also, keep an eye out for, you know, stuff happening in the future. Super, super stoked about that. But, I don't know. I think this podcast episode was good. I'm not a super organized person for the most part, so I think mass chaos is kind of a good thing sometimes.
It's fun.
Yeah. It's like, I have thoughts, you have thoughts. Let's put our thoughts out. It's pretty crazy. So, thanks for listening. Tune in next time. Share this with friends. Share this with people who you think would... you know, gain something from it, or if you're like, hey, this reminded me of you, share it, because it could be something that someone else needs. So, love you so much. Feel free to reach out to me or Caitlin, because I love to get to know people, so hit me up, and just love you guys. I'll see you guys next time.
Bye!